Now, if you'll turn back with me to Philippians chapter 4, I wanted to bring a message on this verse and not include it just in my Sunday school lesson alone, so I decided just to have the lesson leading up to it and then have this verse. So this will finish our study in Philippians. And I searched for a message this week to encourage those of you who truly do believe, those of you who truly do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and am hopeful. I'm hopeful at the same time as I encourage you that others, by the grace of God, will see Him in His glory. Now, that preacher who preached to me when I heard the gospel, he wasn't preaching at me. He prepared that message for that church. I'd never been to that church, hadn't been to that church in 30 years. Didn't know anything about that church. But I was there that morning. And as he encouraged those people in that church, I saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in the message. I saw it. And so I'm hopeful that as I encourage you, that others by the grace of God will see Him in His glory and commit their souls unto Him. I want to speak to you this morning who are in this place who are of full age. You're of full age. You've been on this way for a long time. You've been through trials. You've been through separations. You've been through suffering. You suffered for the name of Christ and His kingdom. And now your bodies have begun to break down and you hurt all over. It's awful, but you get up in the morning and it's normal to hurt. Normal to ache and hurt all over. You can't sit in a car for 20 minutes and get out. Boy, I used to look at them old folks, and they'd get out, and they couldn't hardly get going, you know. They'd stand there by the door, and I'd patiently waiting on a parking place, and they'd stand there by the door and won't move, you know. Couldn't figure out why. Boy, I know why now. You don't just jump out of that door and take off anymore. You hurt. You ache. It's almost normal to wake up with those things, and you're limited in your diet and exercise, and you're limited in your income. Your income's low and prices are going up. You need some encouragement, don't you? Huh? Boy, I do. I need some encouragement. And then I want to speak to you young men here. Men who are in their prime. You know what that is? That makes you a prime target for Satan. That's what that prime's all about. You struggle with pride. Solomon said a man's pride shall bring him low. That's what's going to bring him down. His pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. And a man in his prime thinks he can overcome every obstacle by hard work and tenacity. And while this might be a good principle as it's applied in business, it's got no place in the realm of faith. David said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with song I praise Him." He said this. He said, "The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed." Psalm 28:7-8. And then some of you here this morning might still be children in the faith. You're full of life and full of energy and full of expectation. But I'm going to tell you something. Children ain't children very long. They're not children very long. And then the responsibilities of life comes on you, seem like all of a sudden, with all of its problems, and their childhood soon forgotten. And that's the way it is in the family of faith, too. It works the same way. All of a sudden, these problems. You don't have a care in the world when you first believe and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing can faze you or touch you. You're ignorant of it. And then one day you experience it. And boy, it's pulling every which direction. And all of a sudden these responsibilities and these experiences and that childhood of faith is gone. It's gone. What can I say to lift up and encourage every believing soul in this place? Well, I believe I found something here in these last verses of Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Paul said, but my God, the God in whom I believe, the God in whom I trust, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And unto God, and boy, I love this, and our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. I have five things I want you to consider in these two verses. Five things that ought to lift up, encourage every believing soul that's here today. First of all, I want you to see that these verses speak to the needs of chosen sinners and not to their wants. It speaks to their needs. There's not a more needy creature in all this world than a fallen son of Adam. I tell you, when it comes to spiritual things, I need everything. Don't you? I need everything. I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need encouragement. I just one big need. I'm just one big need. Kathy said one time about the kids around dinner time, she said they're like a bunch of birds. So as soon as it gets close to 5 o'clock, all them mouths was open waiting, you know. That's the way I am. I'm just one big need. One big need. And there's not a more needy creature in this world than a fallen son of Adam. I want you to listen to something. God describes his church over in Ezekiel chapter 16. I love a good picture. A good picture will take what I'm trying to teach you and you can visualize it. And we're talking about this thing of Christ supplying your needs. This is written to chosen sinners. Sinners. Needy sinners. And God describes his church in Ezekiel 16 by his prophet this way. He said, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. And thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite and you were born in a cursed land by heathen parents. That's what he's saying. And when you were born, none I pitied thee. None I pitied thee. Your navel wasn't cut. You weren't washed or salted or swaddled. But you was cast out in a field to the loathing of your person. That's his church. Unloved, unwanted, uncared for, left to die in the wilderness, left to feed the predators and scavengers, left to yourself in your own weakness. That's the picture. Needy sinners. Think of how needy an infant is, how helpless and dependent it is. You have to be careful how you pick it up. You break its neck. You have to hold its little head and you have to feed it. You have to wonder, what does it need? It can't tell you what it needs. It's just one big need. It's helpless. That's his church. That's the sinner. And you think of how needy an infant is, how helpless and dependent it is. But imagine this infant taken from its mother's arms and slung out into a field. Cast out into a field. Its needs now multiply 100 times. Now it's food for the prey. Food for the prey. A victim for the scavengers, a free meal for the predators. But that's not all. God says it was cast out to the loathing of its person. It wasn't wanted. It wasn't wanted. It was an object of wrath and hatred, maybe born of rape or incest or whatever. It was unwanted. It was just cast out into the field. Something horrible had happened, and it was cast out into the field. Oh, beloved, this is where God finds his elect. Cast out. Cast out. Needy. Naked. Forsaken. Unloved. Uncared for. Left to yourself. Left to the prey. Left to the predators. That's this world. This is where God finds his elect. And this is their condition. And this is how they are and where they are. And I tell you this, a sinner is the most needy creature in all the world. He was conceived in iniquity, cast out from his mother's womb. Born of heathen parents, he's a Gentile, a heathen, without Christ, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, listen, and without God in the world. That's pretty helpless, isn't it? Some of you here today, you've got a fear of judgment. You believe that one day you're going to stand before God and be judged. But you're still living in total denial that you're right now a child of wrath, even as others. Still living in denial of it. But the scripture said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Food for the vultures, food for the predators. At the mercy of God's providence. I'd like for some time one of these Arminian intellectuals to show me in any of the types of the fallen sinner the free will of man. Wouldn't you? Just show me in these types. Here's a leper covered from head to toe, dead while he lives. Here's a man dead, laying in the tomb. Here's another one possessed with thousands of demons. He's demon-possessed. Here's another paralyzed. Where's the free will of man in those pictures? Cast out in the field. Where's the free will of man in this little infant laying there in its blood? Its navel not cut or anything. It was just right from its birth, just thrown into the sand. I tell you, it's about mercy. It's not about what you can do for God. About what he can do for you. And that's what our Lord told those Pharisees, those religious, ignorant, deceived men. He said, you go learn what this means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, when I think of the sinners, he's pictured in the scriptures. He's dead, he's demon possessed, he's paralyzed, he's cast out into the field, sold on the auction block. Go on and on and on with the picture. Man's will is in subjection to a fallen nature, and his affection is in subjection to a mind that's enmity against God, and his heart is a veritable cesspool of iniquity. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, and so on. You ever think about that when you get mad? Or you get mad and that face turns red and them jaws get set and you, boy, you, where's that come from? Comes from here. Murder, adulteries. It's a veritable cesspool just waiting to erupt. Like that, he tells us in Romans 3 that man under sin, his poison, he said, is hid under his lips like that serpent. Those fangs lay down in that serpent. But they come out too, full of venom. And then you add to that the enemies of his soul. False prophets among the people, even as there is among you, Peter said, who privately, secretly, covertly, unnoticed, undetected, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord at bottom. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways. There's a way, the wise man said, there's a way that seems right unto a man. But the end thereof is destruction. And he also says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. I'm telling you this, that a sinner is the most needy creature in all the world. He's constantly, we're constantly in need of His grace. In need of His grace. So that this verse speaks to the needs of chosen sinners. And it don't speak to your wants. This is not something to encourage you to come to God with a shopping list. This speaks of needy sinners. Salvation's by grace, but this grace is given to needy sinners. That's what magnifies the grace of God. Those objects that He chose. And He chose them just on purpose. He chose them on purpose. And then secondly, I want you to consider the scope of God's promise here in verse 19 of our text. He said, all our needs. All our needs. How many? All. Was that big needs or little needs? All. Is that just some needs? All needs. All. God has so blessed His people and His care for them that His care for them is beyond their comprehension. You can't comprehend God's providence in the falling of a sparrow to the ground, can you? You can't comprehend God's care for His people in that He numbers the changing number of hairs on your head. At any one time, He can tell you exactly how many hairs on your head. Does He care for hair? Is He a hair, you know, a critic? Or why is that? Why does He talk about hair and the falling of sparrows? Does God care for sparrows, or did He say that altogether for His church? Because He cares for His church. And if He don't overlook the falling of a sparrow, you think He's going to overlook some need that you have or some... He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. God so blessed His people and His care for them that His care for them is beyond their comprehension. David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Never. Never. And when I think of the scope of God's blessings upon His people from everlasting to everlasting, every need, every problem, every trouble, every pain, choosing, searching, finding, saving, keeping, perfecting, heirs together with Christ, joint heirs with God. All things are yours, Paul said. Can you comprehend that? The scope of His blessings on His church is so big you can't comprehend it. You can't comprehend it. Paul says, he just uses the word all. All of the apostles did that. They just used this word all. What else are you going to use? All things are yours. Apostles, prophets, the world, life, death, things present, things to come. All are yours and you're Christ's. And Christ is God's. And then thirdly, I want you to consider the source. He said, my God. My God. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Let me show you something over there. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. In James chapter 1 verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Nothing can hinder or cause the living God to not bless His elect. Nothing. He'll take the torments of Satan and bless you with them. He allowed Peter to be sifted like wheat, didn't he? But He didn't let him fall. He didn't let him fall like Judas. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And nothing can hinder or cause the living God to not bless His elect. Faith draws upon the vast riches of the deity. See it there, my God shall supply all your need. It's according, the scripture says in our text, to the riches, His riches in glory. How rich is God? I want you to think about this. We're thinking about our need. We're needy sinners. And Paul's encouraging these needy sinners to give because he knows how the Lord's going to give to them and how he's already given to them. How rich is God? How rich is God in his grace? How far will God's grace reach? Huh? Oh, that rich grace, it'll reach to the bottom of the barrel. How rich is God in his mercy? How rich is God in his love and kindness and long-suffering? I was trying to think about this hymn, and after about 2 hours of struggling, my memory ain't what it used to be. I think I got pretty close to how it goes. But this last verse of this old hymn is on the love of God. He said, could we with ink the oceans fill, and every stock on earth a quill, were every man a scribe by trade, and all the sky parchment made, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's the love of God. How rich is God in love? Huh? How rich is he in love? Is there anything? Paul said there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. Where's it at? In Christ Jesus our Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And if you'll go back there in Ephesians 2 and read those verses up above, you'll find out what that dead in sin's all about. That's where he found us, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now worketh in the children of disobedience, living out our days in the lust of our flesh and desires of this old heart. Faith draws upon the infinite wealth of deity, infinite love and infinite mercy and infinite grace, inexhaustible, unchangeable. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, here's the fourth thing. The means. The means. By Christ Jesus. That's the means. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 that all spiritual blessings were given in Christ and according as we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. God outside of Christ is a consuming fire. God outside of Christ is filled with a righteous hatred for sin. He hateth all the workers of iniquity. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Cursed is every man who continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Mercy is in Christ. Love is in Christ. We're predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father according to the good pleasure of his will. And then he tells us we're accepted in the beloved. Huh? You don't feel accepted, do you? Huh? Boy, just think about what you are. Just think about this morning. Just wipe out the past. Just think about this morning. What have you done this morning that you would bow your head before God and say, accept me on this basis? You can't even feel acceptable, can you? Can't even feel acceptable. We're accepted in the beloved. Oh, my soul, when I think about how he feels toward his son, how he loves his son, he tells us in the scriptures, I believe it's in John 17, he tells us that, Father, he said, as you have loved me, you love them. My soul, accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God abounds through him to us in all wisdom and prudence, makes known unto us the mystery of his will. Christ is the means. He's the means of God's blessing. And there's nothing outside of Christ but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Over there in Hebrews 10, when he says, if we sin willfully, having received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth. What's he talking about? He's talking about if we take that sacrifice that he declared in the first part of chapter 10, and that teaching of the Holy Ghost, and we wouldn't have any of it. We set that aside. There's nothing else. There's nothing else out there but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Everything a guilty sinner needs is made accessible to him in Christ. What does the guilty sinner need to do? He needs to go to Christ. I tell you that every week. Look to him. Go to him. Believe on him. Trust in him. In Christ, you have a high priest to intercede for you. In Christ, we have an advocate before the bar of God. In Christ, we have a perfect righteousness. In Christ, all of our sins have been put away. In Christ, our Lord, we have one up on the throne to make certain the salvation of our soul. In Christ, all the promises are yea and amen. I heard a man say one time at a Bible conference, he was talking about that word if. That might have been the title of his message, if. But he said, at the end of his message, he said, if you'll take all those ifs and put them on a silver chain and just hang them on the neck of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all yea and amen. Just take all those ifs and put them on him. Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. Christ is the shepherd. He's the bread. He's the water. He's our God. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this matter of blessings, Christ is all. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All these things are in Christ. He that hath Christ, he that hath the Son, he hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, whatever else he has, he don't have life. And then, fourthly, Christ is the means whereby chosen sinners receive God's rich mercy. That's their supply. And then lastly, I want you to consider the certainty of this promise. The certainty of it. Paul said, my God shall. Don't you like that word, shall? He shall save his people from their sin. He shall. There's nothing iffy about that, is there? My God shall supply all your need in Christ Jesus. Paul said the God who was revealed to him in the gospel was a God who finishes what he starts. That's what he told his Philippians. God's going to finish what he started in you. And when God revealed to his prophet Jeremiah what he would do in the last day, the prophet said, O Lord God, behold, he said, you've made heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there's nothing too hard for thee. Huh? Oh, he can't save me. You can't. But he can. He can. And my friend, what God's purpose to do, he will do. And what he's begun, he will finish. Who's going to stop him? Oh, you might put a stop to me, but you ain't going to put a stop to him. You know, put a stop to him. Who's going to stop him? Is there somebody out there stronger than he is? Is there another out there wiser than he? Where else will you go? Who else can you trust? The Lord Jesus Christ is God our Savior. He's God our Savior. And he shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to gather here. Open this book of treasures, this book of mysteries, this book of glory, and look and see our Savior, and to see God's glory in His face, to see Him as our supplier, the supplier of needy sinners, and oh, our God, how needy we are. Be pleased this morning to use this message to strengthen and to establish and to give hope to needy sinners. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.